This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tess Vigeland.
Got whiplash yet, guys? You may remember it was about a week ago, JP Morgan was out a couple billion bucks. Well, this week, that morphed into $3 billion. The stock market spent most of the week on the slide thanks to a euro crisis that just will not end. They had bank runs in Greece and Spain and Italy and Portugal. Where's George Bailey when you need him? But back to the banks in this country. Apparently, investors don't mind that CEO Jamie Dimon lost all that money. They voted to keep him in the corner office this week. But given what happened at JP Morgan, plenty of people are wondering what, if anything, has changed since the financial crisis. And to talk a little bit more about all this, I'm joined by our senior producer, Patty Hirsch.
Hello.
Hello, sir. And our favorite investment advisor, Jill Schlesinger of CBS Money Watch. Welcome again.
Thank you so much. I think we should say former investment advisor. I mean, as much as I love doing it,
You're our investment advisor.
Oh, I love that. The Marketplace Investment Advisor.
Yeah. Yes.
That's great. I love it. I'm in.
We're very proprietary.
Love it. I'm yours.
Okay. Excellent. So, Patty, let's start with you. You know, you're famous for your explainers here at Marketplace. So let's do an audio whiteboard. What the heck happened here?
Basically, JP Morgan decided to make a bunch of bets on some corporate debt that it had. It had a lot of corporate debt. It needed to so-called hedge these debts. So it had a trading strategy that made sure that their portfolio was balanced in some way. And then apparently they hedged that second hedge, and they may have even hedged it a third time.
So we have a layer cake of hedging.
It was like a hedgehog.
There's a little bit of aggressive gardening going on there.
Seriously. So, but the net effect of this was that everybody saw what this guy in London, this whale trader, was doing in London, and they bet against these hedges. And basically, essentially what you're talking about is one big bet or a bunch of big bets, all of which went the wrong way. Bada bing, JP Morgan is at least $2 billion in the red. But the real issue here is not that JP Morgan's lost $2 billion. I mean, this is a bank that had, you know, $400 billion in excess deposits. You know, JP Morgan's a serious bank with a serious amount of money. So this is really just a drop in the bucket. What this really is an indication that all of the regulations that we put in place following the financial crisis actually are really not worth the paper they're written on, because the banks are able to just kind of drive around them and find different ways to gamble with money.
Well, so then let me ask, as the consumer, what I'm supposed to think about that. Because if I'm a customer of JP Morgan Chase or any other bank that, I mean, who knows what the other banks are doing at this point? They could be doing things that are very similar to this. How much risk do I have? And how much risk do I have as a taxpayer of having to eventually pay for another bailout?
Well, let me jump in here for a second, because right now any bank or brokerage customer from JP Morgan Chase is totally fine. There's really is nothing to worry about, because they have more money on hand than they know what to do with in many respects. They can absorb this trading loss.
Then why is everybody talking about it?
Because it's our money. That's why. And they shouldn't be gambling with it.
Well, okay, but let me just put it a different way. The reason why people are really worried about this is, here's this guy, this golden guy, Jamie Dimon, who came through the crisis sort of unscathed and, frankly, with just a tremendous amount of hubris and walking around saying, we don't need regulation. We're smarter than the regulators. And he totally dissed a lot of officials who said that we needed smaller banks. We needed really much more stringent regulations. And he almost, to not exactly, but he practically said, the regulators are so stupid, they can't keep up with our business. We're smarter than them. We can do it better than them. We are self-regulating. Don't you believe us? Now, if you run around and say that, and then you go out and lose $2 billion that you didn't know about within a span of 6 weeks, you kind of look stupid.
Yep.
Well, the way we dealt with this on the program last week was, we had an interview with the head of the Chartered Financial Analyst Group, and these are people who essentially have launched a new campaign to try to get investors back in the market, to try to get them to trust Wall Street once again. Is there any point at which we will be able to look at Wall Street and say, you know what, maybe things are okay now and I should put my hard-earned money back there?
Well, you know, from my perspective, when I talk to people, regular old investors, I think that most people are begrudgingly part of it. In my view, what has to happen and what really never happened was a serious mea culpa by the industry, them coming together and saying, we're going to play ball. We took the money from the taxpayers. It's time to get serious. It's time to sober up. I don't believe that has happened on Wall Street. It's one of the worst parts of being from the industry is that I talk to my friends and they act like nothing really bad happened because they've got some strange sort of financial and monetary amnesia. So all they can remember is how hard it was for them during those periods of time. And I think, yeah, you guys destroyed a beautiful system over the course of the last 20 years. I'm sorry you feel so bad.
Well, you talk about speaking to investors, Jill, and we actually have one on the line for you to have a chat with now. His name's Michael Pell, and he's from Oaks, Oklahoma. Michael, are you there?
I am.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about why you're calling today?
Okay, so my partner and I, Emily, we live fairly simply, and so we don't really spend a lot of money. We actually only spend about $15,000 a year, and the rest of our money, which is about $30,000, we've been saving, and we've been putting it into a money market account. And when we started doing that about 5 years ago, we were getting a 3% return. But now it's all the way down to 0.6 percent. And so,
wow, you're even getting 0.6.
Yeah.
That's an accomplishment.
So we're looking to do something, you know, that will give us a higher return. But you know, we are organic farmers, and so we're actually looking for maybe something that's a little bit more socially responsible as well, if that's possible.
All right, so you have this money, and you don't know what to do with it. Let me ask you, first of all, would you put it in Wall Street?
That's what my dad keeps telling us to do, and I just do not feel comfortable. We're very risk adverse, despite being vegetable farmers in Oklahoma. We don't like to take risks. We really would love to avoid Wall Street.
So, Jill, this is the question that we get week in and week out, which is, you know, how can I get any sort of return on my money and yet still keep it safe? And it's such a trade-off.
Yes, it absolutely is. So there's a couple of things that come to mind. First of all, do you have kids?
We don't, but we're expecting one in November.
Oh, fabulous.
Congratulations.
All right. Okay. This... And do you think that funding for education might be something that you guys think about is something you want to do?
Definitely.
Okay. I think that what would be really neat is for you to be using a 529 plan from the state of Oklahoma. Now,
right, I've heard of that.
Now, this is so cool because Oklahoma has a 529 plan. It allows you to put money into this account as long as you use it for college expenses, tuition, room and board. When you put it in today and it grows, when you take it out, you don't have to pay any tax on it. It's sort of like a Roth IRA for college.
Okay.
It's offered through one of my absolute favorite companies called TIAA CREF. And this is a very conservatively run firm, and there is, if you never wanted to take any risk in this fund, literally, you can be in a guaranteed account, okay? A guaranteed account, which really, I know it's not paying a lot, but it would be 1.6% interest rate, but you wouldn't pay any tax on it, so it's all yours.
Uh-huh.
You could keep it in there and just keep popping money in there every year for your kid or your children eventually. Now, you can put in $13,000 each per kid. So $26,000 a year. We could just burn off a lot of this $150,000 pretty fast. But the rest of the money is a conundrum to me because you're a young guy. And it makes me sad to think that that there will be no risk. But the other thing that you can do is you can build what is called a CD ladder, where you can buy different maturity CDs that mature. So, and you'll get rotten rates. I'm talking about 1.75% or 1.7%. But again, it's more than you're getting now.
Right.
All right. So how does that strike you, Michael?
That's great. I like the college savings plan. Thank you so much for the advice.
Great. Thanks so much for the call, Michael. And thank you, Ms. Jill.
Thank you for having me. And as always, I serve at your pleasure, Queen.
And thank you, Patty.
Thank you, Tess.